And this is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I didn't say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Ouch and awe. One of the things that I enjoy about Pentecost is hearing again this story. This story of that day when all the disciples were locked away in their fear in their tiny little room because the tourists were there. It makes me think sometimes of my friend who lived in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and how she would talk about tourist season when all the tourists would come to the snow-capped mountains in the winter, and how the town, the little community of Jackson Hole, would go from this little community where you knew most people and everybody kind of got along to a place where it was just full of strangers. And there were still the people that were there that you knew, but so many more that you had to wade through. So many that had come from all over the world. I imagine what those festival days would have been like in Jerusalem, with people there from every nation, coming almost as tourists to do this big thing, to go and celebrate this great holiday with the temple there. And along the way, they're coming and they're getting their little souvenirs to take home, and they're preparing all their things, and they're making all the mistakes that tourists make. But it's a great influx into the community. There's a great excitement. And at this moment, on this day, it was quite a lot for those disciples who had already experienced so much. They had been waiting there in the city, waiting for the promise of the Spirit to come, the promise that the Spirit of Jesus had promised. They had hurt with Jesus as he was crucified. They had worried and grieved as he laid in the tomb. They had responded with surprise and shock and awe when they experienced him resurrected within their midst. But then there was this waiting. And now there were so many people there that really didn't know any of this story. They didn't know this person of Jesus. They didn't know the things that had been going on in this place. They were just there to continue business as usual. And so the disciples all inside gathering together in a great number. There were quite a few of them there that day. They were gathering together almost against an alternative gathering, against the crowds that had gathered outside. They were gathering together as a community to remember together, to be part of that story, to remember the things that had taken place there, to remember Jesus, when everybody else was ready just for the world to go on. But then there's this moment. There's this moment of spirit, of wind, of fire, and suddenly the disciples are no longer inside, they're now outside into the crowd and they're speaking. And now, instead of that separated body, separated off from the world, they're out in the world. They're out in amongst all of those travelers. They see them as their own. And there's this great view of the expanse of how big the story that we take part in really is. That the story of Jesus is not just a little story for a few huddled people, but a story for the entire world, a story for the expanse of the entire list of nations. And in that promise of Pentecost, as they go out and speak and proclaim the risen Christ, and the Spirit works in those crowds, we begin to see the true expansiveness and remember for a moment how big the story that we take part in really is. It's a big, big thing that we're a part of as Christian people. We worship the Word that spoke and called everything into being, the Word that is speaking still, and calling into being the cotton candy sunset skies that we've been seeing. Calling into being the moon and the stars that shine at night. Calling into being the blooming green on the trees and in the lawns and in the fields and in our gardens. It's the miracle of budding trees and flowers greets our senses again. Calls into being all of the bugs and the creeping things and the baby bunnies and the goslings and the ducks. Calls into being all of creation and calls us into being too. This is the Word of God that we worship. The Word that the Gospel of John says became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Christ. And that is the Word that speaks in us, and that is the Word that we are a part of. In this day of Pentecost, opens our eyes to see the vast horizons of that Word again. We are a part of this creation. And yet, if we're a part of this creation, if we're a part of this huge expanse of God's love, eternally speaking the world into being, eternally loving and speaking us into being, then why do we feel sometimes so small, so cut off? Why do we have those moments where we want to lock our doors, turn inwards, stand in fear like those disciples did that morning? This last year of pandemic, as we stand now on the verge of reopening the church a little bit wider, being able to engage in our community life a little bit more in flesh, in person, coming out of our homes a little bit more as the summer comes and the pandemic wanes. This last year we've spent feeling so cut off, so isolated, so small. If we are a part of that Word, then why is it so easy to feel so abandoned, so estranged. It's almost like we go through our day-to-day lives estranged from the people that we really are, the people that Christ calls into being, that it's hidden in a way in Christ, who we are in our fullest selves, that it's something we can see glimpses of in moments of great faith, in miraculous moments of clear-sightedness. But it's something that we go through life estranged from. It's so easy to feel separated. But in the deep places, in the deepest places of ourselves, that word that was spoken at the beginning of the creation is speaking still, that word of divine love, that word that is eternally creating and forming us into being. In the deepest places of my heart and of yours, that word is speaking still. And sometimes, in order to hear that word, in order to experience the fullness of that word, we've got to do a bit of groaning. A bit of groaning. The reading from Romans this morning says that the whole creation, remember, we're part of that whole creation. That whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, because remember, we are a part of that creation, who have the first fruits grown in our inmost selves inwardly as we wait for that experience that Paul describes as adoption and redemption. We're groaning in labor pains. Because hearing that word, bringing that word into being, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. Indeed, it's very, very hard. And it comes with some ouch. Reproduction can be painful. Bearing fruit is the way that trees reproduce. And so when we talk about first fruits, we're talking about reproduction. If we're talking about bearing fruits in our lives, we're talking about reproduction. When we talk about this gift of life on Pentecost, we're talking about birth, the birthday of the church, and the birthday of the church in us. The birthday of Christ in us. Reproduction can be painful. I remember the day my son was born. I remember, too, the 9 months leading up to his birth. I was not part of the equation that had to experience the pains. But I saw how painful it can be to bring life into the world. Groaning in labor pains. And truth be told, bringing Christ's message of love into the world is a painful proposition. Remember that Jesus himself said, the servant is not above the master. What the master goes through, he's speaking about himself, you will also experience. And when Jesus brought the word of love into the world, when Jesus spoke that word of life to people in flesh, that word of healing, that word of hope, what happened? He was rejected. He was arrested. He was crucified. He was killed. It was a painful moment. And yet, through that pain, there was a gift of new life coming into being, a promise that was coming into fullness. And so modeling for us that same work that would happen in us as new life comes into being. It's the pain of a forest fire that burns through a thickly wooded land, but leaves behind hope for new growth all over again. It's the pain that we've seen in this last year. This week will mark a year since George Floyd was killed on the streets of Minneapolis. And in the year that has been, from then until now, we have experienced a lot of pain, a lot of compassionate pain, a lot of frustration and pain. And yet in this pain, I have also seen an awakening to the wideness of the human family, an awakening to seeing that we are not all treated equally in this country. An awakening to seeing that the boundaries of our humanity and of our human concern and love for one another do not stop at the color of our skin. But in that awakening, there has been pain. And as that new reality is being birthed into the world, as a hope of an anti-racist society is being birthed into the world, it has taken an awful lot of pain. And there's an awful lot to go yet. We have not yet given birth to that world. The year past has taught us about the ways that we are connected to one another, the ways that our actions impact those of others, the ways that our own hygiene, our own daily habits impact the health of those who are most vulnerable in our society as we have lived through this painful pandemic. It has been a tough and painful year. But hopefully in this year we have birthed some things. We're in the process of giving birth. In the process of giving birth to a realization again that our churches are not our buildings, but they're our community that gathers in love, that gathers together around this word of life, to hear that word spoken to us and then be able to speak that word into our communities, our neighborhoods, and into the hearts of our loved ones in our lives. As we have been outside here in the parking lot, we have not been able to turn away from our community, but have forced to be out in it, broadcasting this word into the community. And considering what that means for us and our vocation as church. Sometimes we are in pain, but that pain brings an awareness of something bigger. That expansiveness that Pentecost draws our vision to and fills us with a moment of awe. As I think about this day and as I got the news last night of Mary's death, I thought about how present she was here. I thought about all of the times she would sign up for the discipleship groups that I would teach, all of the conversations that I would have with her during those times. And all of the times that she talked about her own experience of living for an extended time in the Holy Land, in Jerusalem. She lived for a long time in Jerusalem, I think spending a year there when she was younger. And how she grew to love that place, to learn the language, and she fell in love with the people. And how she had told me in the last couple months, how much she was looking forward to Pentecost, to today. Because at times in the past, we have leaned in to that speaking in tongues here during this day of Pentecost and had our scriptures spoken in languages other than English, other than our common tongue, by people who have the gift of knowing multiple languages, and how she yearned to be able to share the word in Hebrew today. Her hope today was to be speaking that word to you, to remind you of how expansive our faith and our God really is. As I think about her death, I think today about the pain of grief. When we grieve a loss, whether sudden or expected, of someone that we love in our lives. And how, in the process of grief, we turn to the story of a person's life. We remember the things that they taught, the way that they engaged in the world, the hopes that they had for themselves, for their own lives. And in that thinking, and in that talking, and in that hoping, we consider how their legacy might live on in us. There's a powerful step in grieving. When you look into the pain, into that feeling of ouch, and look hard enough to draw out something to carry you forward in your own life, to carry you forward into an experience of awe. As the person's life now extends beyond the boundaries of their own body, beyond the whispers of their own breath, beyond the boundaries of life and death itself. As they join the communion of saints and become part of the redeemed body that we hope for, that we yearn for. On this Pentecost, there is a promise of the Spirit, that the Spirit will come upon you, as it has come upon the disciples in our stories, because that Spirit is a Spirit that is still being breathed upon us now. That word of Christ that spoke first at the beginning of creation is speaking still in our hearts now. And it's speaking to us to fear not those pains of birth, to fear not the labor that must happen, but to embrace it, to enter into it, and to know that in spite of that pain, that through that pain, we will come to the sweet relief of birth, that sweet relief of the presence of Christ that is as tender as holding a newborn child. The presence of the Word in flesh in us now. And the knowledge that the love that we have, and the love that we are born in, the love that we live and move and have our being in, knows truly no bounds. Amen.